talk about a couple of things. One is, there are two things that every church should teach, and one of them is knowing God, and the second thing is obeying God. It's very interesting today that in a lot of churches, they teach the first part, they don't teach the second part, and they don't teach about obeying God, and because they don't want anybody to feel they have to be responsible. But I believe every single one of us is responsible to God. And I think it's important that we not only know God, we obey God. And if you don't know what to do to obey God, well, then you have to get in the Word of God. So kind to elaborate on that today, I'm going to talk about seven things every Christian should know. Seven things every Christian should know. And I'm just going to briefly go over these, and if I have time, I'll get into hearing God. But it's important today that every single person understand what God wants us to know about Him, about us, and about other things. And number one is, of course, the major thing, which is salvation, to know and fellowship with God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I said to know and fellowship with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit daily and show our love to the Lord. Now, obviously, everybody knows John 3:16, and that's God so loves the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And one of the things that really brought to my attention this week, I think there's a lot of people that go to church that do not know the Lord. I think they know the Lord, but they really don't know the Lord. One of the things that really brought this to my attention this week was I was briefly listening one day to Rush Limbaugh, and as you know, he is a brilliant man as far as politics and national things and all of that. But somebody asked him if he was a Christian or not. Now, a lot of people have presumed that he is. Here is the explanation that he gave. He said, "My parents were Methodists, and when I was young, I went to the Methodist church. So, yes, I'm a Christian." Now, isn't that interesting? You can have a brilliant mind and not understand the things of God. And I think if we have a situation where we say we know God and we're not following God, I think we ought to examine what we do know. Because I think there's a lot of people that think they know the Lord and haven't got a clue as to what salvation is all about. Salvation is very simply having an encounter with the living God. It is a personal encounter with Christ. It is where you know the information that Christ died for you, that He was buried for you, that He rose from the dead on the third day. And then there's a point where you totally surrender to that information and desire Christ for your life. And that, I really believe, has to be spoken out of your mouth at one time or another. Because the Bible says that we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You are not saved if you were born a Lutheran or born a Methodist or born a Baptist or any Catholic or anything else. That is not salvation. Salvation is a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. And I will say that if you have that encounter with Christ, you can never be the same. Because the Bible says that when you receive Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit. He comes to live within your spirit. And when God is in your spirit, yes, you can ignore Him, but you're not going to ignore Him forever. And I think there'll be a change in your life, and if there's no change, you're not saved. I'm just going to tell it like it is this morning. And there's going to be a lot of people, I really believe, religious people, disappointed when they face God. Because every single person is going to face God. If you don't have a desire for the Word of God, if you don't have a desire to be in church, then you better decide, you better find out if you're saved or not. Because there's something wrong in your life if you don't have that desire. A lot of people go through the motions and think they're okay. There are also a large group of people who think because they're a good person, God is going to have to accept them into heaven, and that's absolutely wrong. The only way a person is accepted into heaven is to have the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to die on the cross of Calvary for every single person ever born upon this earth. And that person has to make that decision, we have a free will, we have decision-making ability, and God said sometime in your lifetime you have to make a decision to receive Christ and live for Him. Amen. Are you listening to me? If there's a receiving in Christ and no living for Him, probably it didn't take. Okay? I am not the judge, and I don't want to be the judge. God is the judge. But I'm telling you this, I'm going to tell the truth so that people will know where they stand with God. Because a lot of people think they're okay when they're not, quote, okay, as far as God is concerned. So number one, you have to know what salvation is. It is a personal relationship with the God who created everything you see and who will bring everything to conclusion in the future. Now, that's extremely important. So what I suggest is, if you have people that talk a good story and don't do it, I suggest you pray they get saved. And I'm not being smart. I suggest you pray they get saved. God, the Holy Spirit, will draw them to Christ. Some people are just struggling all the time. They're in and out, and they're up and down and sideways. And the issue is, pray for their salvation. Now, people can get saved in all kinds of circumstances. There are Hindus being saved, but you cannot be a Hindu and go to heaven. You have to know Christ. There are Buddhists that are being saved, but they're not saved because they're Buddhist. They're saved because they're coming to Christ. The Muslims do not worship the same God of this Bible. I don't care what the president says, what the president before him said, or anybody else said, because they all said, basically, you can be a good whatever, Muslim, Buddhist, whatever. Well, maybe you can, but that doesn't make you a Christian. It's interesting that Muslims are being saved all over the world. Many of them are being killed for their faith, even in the United States of America. We talked about this Wednesday night. There's a girl down in Florida that left her parents because she fled for her life. She was a Muslim. She became a Christian. And usually that is a death warrant if you're a Muslim. And don't ever believe that any religion is okay if they blow up buildings and blow up people. Are you listening to me? That is not Christianity. We have to get our thinking right. And I don't care who receives them, they are not Christians. And so, number one, you need to know if you're a Christian or not. Number two, you need to hear and talk to God on a daily basis. You need to hear and talk to God on a daily basis. That's extremely important. God is talking to you. God wants you to listen to Him. God wants you to tune Him in. God wants to give directions for your life. Don't you believe He knows more about it than you do? Yes, He does. And so we are to listen to God and talk to God on a daily basis. If you don't do that, then either find out how to do it, which I'm teaching usually on Sunday morning lately, how to talk to God, how to listen to God, how to know it's God, because there's a lot of voices in this world. But the issue is that God wants to have a conversation with you on a daily basis. And we're going to talk about how you do that. We'll do that next Sunday and on. Number three, you have to obey God. I am amazed at the people who say they're Christians and do not obey God. If you're not obeying the Word of God, you're disobeying God. It's just that simple. You say, you're putting too much responsibility on me, not half as much as God was going to. So it'd be better to turn it around today. And I'm preaching to myself. I'm not preaching to anybody particularly, but I'm just saying it's obeying God. Jesus said, he that obeys me loves me and will be loved of my Father, and I will love him. That's what Jesus said. He that obeys me loves me. Now that came right out of the mouth of Jesus. And so obedience is tremendously important. There are a lot of people that are going to be ashamed at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't say they were going to hell. I said they'd be ashamed at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ because they have not obeyed him. Now, I'm telling you things that God told me. I wasn't even going to preach this morning, but God often speaks to me, not that I'm anybody particular. I'm not any more important than you are. But God, I'll tell you where one area where God will speak to you particularly is in the area where he's gifted you. In the areas where he's gifted you. So if you're not using the gifts that God gave you, you're not sometimes likely to hear from God in that area if you're not using what God has given you. Now, a lot of times on Sunday morning, I'll study for the Sunday morning message during the week. And I'll have it pretty much down the way I think that I want to present it. But then I talk to God about it for two or three days usually. I usually have it together by Wednesday or Thursday. And then the rest of the week, I'm going to be praying to God. What does he want to put in here? What's he want to add? What did you want to say, Lord? And not just what I put together. I want it to come from God, or there's no point in any of us being here. If the message doesn't come from God, we're wasting our time. And I don't want to waste your time, and I don't want to waste my time. So I want to hear from God. I have to hear from God. It's extremely important. And a lot of times God will speak to me. I'll watch something on Christian TV or hear something on Christian radio, and God will say something to me, just kind of speak to my mind about that issue, whatever it is. And when I heard Rush Limbaugh say what he said to this person that asked him if he was a Christian, God said, you need to make that very clear to the folks that there are a lot of people, probably some in your families, your relatives, who believe they're Christians because they go to a certain church, they've been baptized in that church, they took the Lord's Supper in that church, they grew up in that church, or their parents grew up in that denomination, and they think that makes them a Christian, and I'm here to tell you, they are as lost as anybody else you could possibly imagine. Because religion, it was designed by Satan to keep people from having an encounter personally with God. That's what religion is. It's to keep people at a distance from God, not have a personal thing with God. And that's what religion is. I don't care what the religion is or what the name of it is. That's what it all is. Every cult is designed to keep people away from having a salvation experience through Jesus Christ. That's what cults are designed to do. You say, why does God allow them? For the people that do not accept Jesus. That's exactly why he allows them. He allows them to be drawn off. If they refuse Christ, they're going to receive something. Because we are designed as empty vessels to receive in this life. And you either receive Christ or you're going to receive something weird outside of Christianity. Christianity has Christ in it. And that means that it's an encounter with the Son of the living God. And that's what it is. So you would have to know, listen to me, you would have to know the time that Christ came into your life and changed your life. If you don't know of such an experience, then you need to come to Christ and get saved. It's just that simple. I don't know how else to put it. I didn't know that. I grew up in a denomination that never taught this. I had to get out of that denomination to come to a different. God took me to some circumstances where I heard the word of truth. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I received Jesus Christ, and I knew the next day when I got up something was different. I knew that something was different in my life. If you haven't experienced that, then I suggest that you come to Christ for salvation. It's not something to be ashamed of, because I'd rather be ashamed now than later. Are you listening? So number one, know Jesus Christ. Number two, hear and talk to God. You need to find out how to talk to God, listen to God. He knows a whole lot more than you do or anybody else you can go to. Now, number three was obey the Lord, the written word of God and the spoken word of God. There's two ways that God speaks, through his written word and through his voice in your mind. And I think sometimes we talked about last time, he speaks through angels, he speaks through people, he speaks through circumstances. God speaks in all kinds of ways. Whatever will get your attention, that's what God will do. And so it's extremely important that you hear from God, and then second, you obey what God asked you to do. Now, the fourth thing is to give God worship, praise, and honor. Worship, praise, and honor. Now, we talked about this last time, but one of the things that opens up God to you hearing God's voice, not God speaking because he's speaking all the time, but for you to hear him is worship and praise. I've heard people tell me, and this is no reflection on anybody, they say, well, you know, I make sure I don't get to church until the singing's over. That's what they say. Now, I realize some people do not have a good singing voice, and therefore they're not real comfortable, but you can speak the words, say the words. You don't have to sing the words. Say the words. That's important, because when you give reverence and praise and honor to the living Lord Jesus Christ, your mind will open up to hear from God. Your mind will open up to hear from God. That's why we sing and praise first, then have the word of God so you can take that in into your life. And so many times, and that's why it's important what kind of music you have in your home. If you want to hear from God, I'd have music that would have a tendency to open me up to the Lord instead of something else. It's an interesting thing. There was a Christian concert one time here in the United States that somebody from Africa attended. And after the whole thing was over, this guy from Africa said, "Why were you calling up demons? Supposed to be a Christian concert." It was the music they were playing. He knew from Africa and these demonic things that go on there as well as in this country. But he knew, he said, these people are calling up demons. It's the type of music they're playing. Are you listening to me? It's important to control what kind of music your kids listen to, because they could be listening to things. Every song will open you up to something. That's what music does. It opens you up to something. Now, there's nothing wrong with love songs and those kind of things if they have the right words in them. I'm not condemning all music. Don't get me wrong. I'm not doing that. There's some very good music that's not, quote, Christian. But you can know the difference. And you should know the difference. Because I hear some cars going down the road, and I hear the music they're playing. I say, oh, my goodness. They might have, well, they should have stayed in bed than listened to that stuff. Because what are they opening their mind up to? What are they opening themselves up to? And some people say, well, that's the silliest thing I ever heard. Why do you think when David played the harp, the demons left King Saul?
That's right. That's right. Good.
I mean, come on now. That's what the Word of God, it's in the Word. It's not something I'm making up. And I'm not being an old fogey about it. I'm telling you, there's a certain kind of music that draws demons, and there's a certain kind of music that draws the Lord. That's the truth. So it's important we worship and praise the Lord and give Him honor. Even if you just say the words. And you don't sing. You can whistle. I don't care. Hum. Do whatever. But the point is, we do this as to create. We first give God the glory and honor deserving to Him. And then second, create an atmosphere where God can speak to you. I said, speak to you. I really believe that God would speak to you something every time you came into church. We have the music and the praise and whatever. We even sing songs on Wednesday night because of the same reason. That's why when Christians get together, they sing. And so it is important. I'll tell you, I grew up in a church where they didn't preach the gospel, but I'll never forget the songs. I'll never forget the songs. There's power in the blood. Holy, holy, holy. I mean, as a kid, that kept going into my ears and kept going into my ears and going into my heart. And 33 years later, I got saved. And I think part of it was because of the songs we sang in that church. That old rugged cross. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me? Not all songs, even in churches, are the right thing sometimes.
That's right.
You got to be careful what you sing. Some songs are very negative, and you don't want to sing those songs. They have negative words in there, you know, and stuff like that. And you have to be careful about the songs and the music and everything. It should be a melodious sound in the music. And so forth, that opens the door to the presence of God. And so music is extremely important. And it's important in your house, in your car, in wherever you listen to it. And sometimes you just say, well, I'm having such a terrible time today. Put on a good Christian song and start humming or singing or whistling. And start listening to God and just see if God doesn't say something that's going to help you in that situation. You got a place in your life where you can't have a breakthrough and you're just hitting a brick wall and you can't figure out what's wrong. Listen to some Christian music and start praying to God. And I'll tell you, and then all of a sudden, the thought will come to your mind how to solve that problem, how to solve what that is. Where'd it come from? Came from God. God speaks to us with a voice in our mind many times. Now, not everything in our mind comes from God. We talked about this. You have to know the voice of God. You can know the voice of God. Know if it's God, the devil, or yourself. Out of your own selfishness. Some people, all they think about is their own selfish thoughts. And they're not going to accomplish things for God. They're not going to be able to respond to God in the proper way because they're either listening to themselves or they're listening to the devil. And all three of those thoughts can be in your mind. God, your own, the devil. And you have to discern where these thoughts are from. You don't have to listen to every thought. You don't have to keep every thought in your mind. And you'll find a lot of times when God wants you to do something, the devil will throw in some weird thing. A lot of times something happened 20 years ago that you were ashamed of. Just to try to get you off the track so you won't get God to do what you want to do. But it's not sin to have a bad thought if you don't dwell on the dumb thing the whole day. Just, I refuse that thought in the name of Jesus, and you start quoting Scripture or reading the Bible or thinking of Scripture, you can get rid of those thoughts and you don't have to deal with them. Just remove them from your mind. We have a will, you see, and we don't have to listen to everything comes into our mind. We don't have to listen to every song that's on TV. We don't have to listen to every song that's played on the radio. Are you listening to me? That's why God gave us a free will, so we'd make decisions daily, hourly, moment by moment. We make decisions. So far we talked about you need to know that you know the Lord. Now you don't have to know the date. I don't know the date of when I received Jesus, but I know it was on a February Sunday night in 1970, and I know where it was. And I can put a stake down there and say in February on a Sunday night, 1970, I received Jesus Christ and my life began the process of changing. It doesn't all change at once. We've talked about this, and that's something else I'm going to say in just a minute. Because you'll never understand the Bible unless you understand this one point that I'm going to make shortly. But the thing is, we need to know when we were saved. We need to be able to say that you're saved, and you shouldn't be ashamed that you're saved. Now, I remember the first time somebody asked me if I was saved, it was right after I got saved. I didn't know what in the world to say. But I'll tell you, now they're going to get an earful. But the issue is, and people aren't taught they can hear God. They hear God a lot of times, they don't even know who it is. I can tell you right now, everybody here has heard from God at one time or another. Everybody. Every single person here. But you could hear him a lot more if you were tuned in. The only way you're going to hear our station is 93.3. You see, any of the rest of us is not going to get it. You have to be tuned in, you see. Now, we talked about obeying God. Some churches say, oh, don't talk about obeying God. We don't want people to get upset now and have any pressure on them, you know. I mean, they came to church, you know. We don't want to scare them off. Well, they need to be scared a little bit, you see. And you can have thousands of people in a church that don't put any responsibility on anybody. They just come and enjoy the music and whatever else goes on and you know, take their little religious heart home with them. You understand? All right. Now, so number one, know God. Number two, hear his voice. Number three, obey God. Number four, give him worship and praise. And then number five, read out loud and study the Word of God daily. Read out loud and study the Word of God daily. If you're not doing it, you're not serious about God. Did I hear that? Who said that? Oh. If you're not in the Word of God on a daily basis, you're not serious about the things of God. God speaks through His Word. Sometimes you'll be reading along the Scripture and all of a sudden it's like that little verse jumps right out all over you. That's God speaking. That's called the Rhema Word of God. I'm going to talk about that probably next time. But the issue is God will speak through you through the Word of God. You need to be in the Word. You need to, I don't care if you take 10 minutes a day, 15 minutes a day. You need to be in the Word of God. You need to read through the Bible over a period of time. You need to know what the Bible says. You need to get into a Bible study. You need to get someplace where you can learn the Word. And when you read the Bible, read it out loud. You'll hear yourself talking the Word of God. And some of that will be God speaking to you. God can speak through your own voice. You see. Now, if you're disobedient to God, you're not going to hear anything, but quit doing what you're doing so you can listen to me. You see. You're not going to mess around with God. I mean, he will not do that. You see. So read out loud, study the Word of God, study God's Word. Now, here's the thing I was going to tell you. You'll never understand the Bible unless you understand that you are a three-part being, spirit, soul, and body. If you don't understand that, you'll not understand the Bible. Because every scripture is either talking about to your spirit, or it's talking to your soul, or it's talking about your body. One of those three. I've heard people say that's Greek mythology. That is so dumb, I can't believe it. I've heard preachers say that. Because a lot of them teach that all you are is soul and body. If that's true, nobody could get saved. Are you hearing me?
Yep.
If that was true, nobody could be saved. Because when you become saved, you're saved in your spirit, you are being saved in your soul, and you will be saved in your body when you get a new one. Are you listening to me? So you have to know that or you cannot understand the Bible. That's why some people read this scripture and says, oh my goodness, you can lose your salvation. No, you can lose your fellowship with God, but not your salvation. When you read scriptures like that, it's talking about your soul, not your spirit. God put a whole chapter in the Bible. It's called Romans 8. To tell you, you can't lose your salvation. Now, I don't know how much more he has to put in there. That's not the only place, but that's one of them. So get that clear and then start getting your soul saved and cleansed and prepared for the kingdom of God. And then eventually your body's going to be saved. You're going to get a new one. This one's not going to work in heaven. God will give us a new one. So spirit, soul, and body. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He made us just like Him. Are you listening to me? This is important. Or you'll never understand the Word of God if you don't understand that right there. And I've taught on it time after time and will keep on teaching on it because it's so important. I never understood the Word clearly until I understood spirit, soul, and body. You say, where does it say it in the Word? I'm glad you asked. But anyway, the issue is that it's extremely important that we understand what the Bible says. Now, just a minute, I'll find it here so that you will have that. If I can, I've got a mental block here. Did you ever have one of those? Yeah, it's old timers. Somebody tell me where that's at. Nobody knows where that at. Where have I been teaching all this time? Okay. Might be. Is that what you got? Well, isn't that something? Oh, here we go. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Okay. It says right here that God says that you want to make sure you're saved spirit, soul, and body. Basically, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So, number one, you want your spirit saved. That's salvation. Number two, you want your soul cleansed, filled with the Word of God, doing the Word of God. That's called salvation of the soul, being obedient to God. You're not obedient in your spirit, you're obedient in your soul. And then your body, you're going to get a new, one. So it's extremely important that you understand about spirit, soul, and body. If there's another thing about hearing God that I'm going to talk about, and that's called left brain, right brain. We'll talk about that next time. But the fact is, we don't need to get into that today. Number six, there's seven of these things. It's a perfect number of God. And I'll hurry up and finish this up. You need to meet and worship with God's people. Meet and worship with God's people and love them. You are commanded by God to love every person in this place. I don't care how messed up they are. Of course, nobody in here messed up, but I'm just saying, you are commanded to love everybody in this place. Commanded by God. Not to do that is being disobedient to the Lord. That'll take care of all the gossip and all the rest of the stuff that anybody might want to do. Okay. Now, that's important. Meet together with the people of God. If you have no desire whatsoever to be in church, get saved. That's it. You say you're being harsh. Not half as harsh is going to be at the judgment seat of Christ or the white throne judgment. I'm trying to prevent those things of being a problem for you. Now, number seven is very important, which is sometimes never taught in churches, and it's very important to know this. You will be responsible for every thought, every word, and every action at the judgment seat of Christ. You will be responsible to God for every thought, every word, and every action at the judgment seat of Christ. I'm talking to Christians. There is for lost people, it's called the white throne judgment. Everybody at the white throne judgment will be declared guilty, have rejected Christ, will go into eternal hell. But Christians will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Extremely important that you understand that. And you say, where does it say that in the Word? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. You ought to have this underlined in your Bible. Also, you should have the scripture about the spirit, soul, and body underlined in your Bible. You need to use your Bible. Mark it up. You get so bad you can't read it anymore, get another one and start marking it up. But the issue is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we all must appear, this is talking to Christians, for we all must appear before the what? Judgment seat of Christ, and that everyone will receive the things done in his body, while he's in his body, that means now, according to that which he has done, whether good or bad. So Christians are going to stand before Christ, the whole thing's going to be put out there before and God will make a judgment. He's not going to judge you to go to hell. He's going to judge you for rewards and responsibility in the kingdom of God. We've talked about this quite a bit lately. But we are responsible for what we think, do, and say. And I wish people would get that in mind, because there's a lot of times we should say nothing. We'd be a whole lot better off than have to confess the whole thing to God and all that kind of thing. And can't you imagine some church of 50,000 people, and they start talking about the judgment seat of Christ? Most of them probably wouldn't even know what in the world they were talking about, because they want to be in a church where all they talk about is love. And that's a good thing, but there's also judgment. God is a God of love, and He's also a God of judgment. If you don't have those two things, then you don't have a balance in the things of God. Are you listening to me? And I can tell you, if you're a Christian and you're being tormented by things all the time, there's something in your life where you've opened the door to the enemy. I can just tell you that for a fact. You have opened the door to the enemy. Can Christians open the door to the enemy? Yes. Yes, they can. In their soul. Not in spirit. In their soul. And, of course, their body they can too. And so let's go over these seven real quick and I'm done. Seven most important things in anybody's life. I don't care who it is. Donald Trump, some movie star, some person you ever heard of, or whether it's a street person. It doesn't make any difference. These seven things are the most important things should be in their life. Number one, know God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and love Him. Number two, hear and talk to God on a daily basis. Number three, be obedient to the Lord, the written and the spoken word. Be obedient to God. You can fool me, but you can't fool God. Give the Lord worship and praise and honor due His name. Worship and praise and honor due His name. Read out loud and study the Word of God daily. Number five. Know that we are spirit, soul, and body. That goes in there. Very important. Number six, meet and worship with God's people and love them. I've heard people go to church, they never spoke to somebody, never spoke to one person. Went in, went to the service, came out, never spoke to one person. There's something wrong with that kind of thing. You're not filled with the love of God for sure, or you'd be talking to people, blessing them, praying for them, and whatever. And you think, well, I'm just not good enough to do that. That's a word from the devil. I'll tell you that right now. If you think you're not good enough to do that, that came from the devil, not God. You see. Now, and then, number seven, know that we are going to answer for our life before God. Extremely important. I think of that every single day I live. I'm going to have to answer to God. I'm going to have to answer to God. Yep. It's one of those days, see me now or see me later. It really is. And I tell you, I gave this message today because I love every single one of you. And I want you to know these things. I want you to know what you should know about the things of God. Because nobody's going to be able to stand before Jesus that I talk to and preach to that don't know these seven things. Because I'm responsible. God makes me responsible. I'm more responsible than you are because I have to make sure you know these things. And this is not to discourage you. It should encourage you. It should encourage you because God has provided a plan. And every single one of you can be so pleasing to God and stand before Him, and He could say, well done, that good and faithful, thou good and faithful servant. And you served me here, you're going to serve me in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. You're going to rule and reign with me at the throne of God. Every single one of you can be in that position. If you haven't been, start today. This is the day of salvation, Jesus said. This is the day of salvation. Don't let another day go by. You can't fool God. You can fool people for a little while. And I'm here to, we're not in the fooling business. We're in the loving business. We're in the encouraging business. We are to do everything we can so that God will receive us with open arms and say, well done, hallelujah. That's what I want. That's what I pray for every day. God, that you'll say, well done when I get there. Satan will start bringing up all this junk you did in the past. Doesn't make any difference. It's what you're doing now. It's what you're doing now. The past is gone, done, over. You can't change it. Yes, and it's forgiven. That's absolutely correct. Well, do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Let's stand before the Lord. Now, we've had a message about somebody had a teeth problem. I don't know if they could have been healed there during the worship and praise. Sometimes God heals people.